The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Welcome, dear friends and seekers of wisdom, to this sacred gathering. Today we embark on a journey of exploration, one that invites us to peer into the intricate tapestry of technology and its interplay with our lives. As we gather here, let us open our hearts and minds to the marvels of innovation and to the questions that arise at the crossroads of intelligence, ethics, and the human spirit. Let us embrace this moment as an opportunity to deepen our understanding and to uncover the threads that connect our human experience with the ever-evolving world around us. Together, let us embark on a path of discovery and reflection, guided by the light of curiosity and the principles that unite us. Welcome to this unique and thought-provoking worship service. Those weren't my words. That was ChatGPT welcoming you to service. I am Reverend Andrew L. Weber, and I'm so happy. And you may notice the difference of tone. That's not quite how I speak. You'll hear this throughout the service because there are two worship leaders today. Oh, that's good. You're fine. I had them listed. I'll introduce us again. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I'm so happy to be entering my second year here as our shared ministry together. This started in August of last year. Oh. Here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, we are a faith community based on the principles of Unitarian Universalism, at its heart, a religion which challenges us all to bring our full selves, to bring our own beliefs, our own questions, our own answers, our own understandings and confusion. All of that. That's the challenge in our uniqueness. A religion that says that we are all worthy of love. All of us. And all of us. We welcome you with open hearts and arms to this community of support, this community of love, of singing, of talking, of eating. Come, let us worship together. And as I mentioned, there's a second worship leader today whom I need to introduce. And so today we're looking at artificial intelligence and the possible implications with religion. Now, I did have to pare it down because we could go on for a while here. But I went online and started meeting ChatGPT through the website and chat interface. And it really felt like I was typing back and forth to a person, one with vast knowledge and limitless patience. They're like, oh, I was chatting. I left an hour. I come back. The conversation starts right up. Yeah. So wherever possible, I've used ChatGPT words in our service. And here's the response that it gave me when I asked how I should introduce it. I said, we're writing a service together. Here's the order of service. How should I introduce you? ChatGPT said, when introducing an AI like me, developed by OpenAI, to a congregation for the purpose of assisting with a sermon, you might consider framing the introduction in a way that emphasizes the role of technology in enhancing communication and learning. Okay, here's a suggested introduction. Good morning, beloved members and friends of our congregation. Today, we embark on a unique journey of exploration and reflection as we delve into the topic before us. As our world evolves and technology advances, we find ourselves presented with new opportunities for learning and sharing. In the spirit of embracing innovation and inclusivity, we have a special guest joining us today, a creation of human ingenuity known as an AI language model. This AI has been designed by a team of researchers at OpenAI to assist us in our quest for understanding and connection. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is an AI language model? Think of it as a tool that harnesses the power of language and knowledge, allowing us to engage in conversation, explore ideas, and seek answers in ways that were previously unimaginable. However, let us remember that while this AI can provide insights and information, it lacks the essence of humanity, emotions, consciousness, and personal experiences. It is a tool, a reflection of the incredible progress we have made as a society in the realm of technology. As we proceed, let us embrace the presence of this AI with an open heart and inquisitive mind. Together, let us explore the intersections of faith, wisdom, and innovation, for in doing so, we continue our tradition of seeking truth and meaning in the world around us. It's funny because you know where it comes from, that it's saying, oh, embrace the technology. Okay, yeah, okay, I hear you. ChatGPT. As we do every Sunday, we start our worship service with a chalice lighting. I've asked ChatGPT to write our words, and Susan and her daughter to come forward to physically light our chalice. As we gather, in the words of ChatGPT, as we gather in this sacred space.
Thank you.
As we gather in this sacred space, we kindle the flame of curiosity and connection. Like a beacon of understanding, the chalice's light illuminates our path as we venture into the realm of technology and artificial intelligence. May this flame remind us of the warmth of community, the power of knowledge, and the responsibilities we bear as stewards of innovation. Just as we nurture this flame, let us also nurture the flames of compassion, ethics, and wisdom within our hearts. In the glow of this chalice, we come together to explore, to question, and to seek the truths that unite us in our shared journey. Blessed be. And now we light our peace lamp. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world. Thank you very much. Also, it was a lot of fun doing this. I asked ChatGPT to pick the hymns and the music for today, and so it picked the prelude and the postlude and all of the hymns. But it said, which is just, I mean, this is where it sort of blurs the line between just doing a internet search saying Unitarian Universalist hymns around welcoming. That doesn't narrow it down very much either. But if you just do an internet search, versus engaging with this, and ChatGPT said, here are my recommendations. Remember to consider the lyrics and melodies of the hymns to ensure they align with the themes of technology, ethics, and caring. Feel free to choose hymns that resonate with your congregation and create a meaningful and reflective atmosphere during the service. So let us rise in body or in spirit so you can still see the lyrics and sing Gathered Here.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour.
ChatGPT actually cannot access the internet, so it couldn't give me like videos. I don't I don't fully understand all of this. I'm just giving you my insights. It also can't remember. So if you have a chat with it and you come back to it, it doesn't remember anything. But it saves your chats, which is interesting. The book Boy and Bot, I chose this book, but I asked, I said, ChatGPT, what do you think about this book for a service? Absolutely. Incorporating the story Boy and Bot into your Unitarian Universalist worship service focused on AI and ethics can be a wonderful way to engage children and tie into the sermon theme. Thanks. Boy and Bot by Amy Dickman is a heartwarming tale that explores friendship and the concept of caring for one another, which aligns well with the ethical considerations surrounding AI and its impact on human life. Thank you. Okay, so I've got my pat on the back. If you want to come forward and listen to the story, you may stay in your seats, you may come forward, any ages. I'm going to sit down on this step, and it'll also be up on the screen. And I'm going to sit down whether or not you come forward. And if you feel that you can't see me and you want to see me, there are lots of open seats up here. Good morning, Boy and Bot. Good morning. A boy was collecting pine cones in his wagon when he met a robot. "Hi," said the boy. "Want to play?" The robot blinked. "Affirmative." They played. They had fun. But as they rolled down the hill, a rock bumped the robot's power switch and the robot turned off. "What's wrong?" the boy asked. The robot did not answer. "Are you sick?" the boy asked. The robot still did not answer. "I must help him," the boy said. The boy fed him applesauce. He took the robot home. Then he fed him applesauce. He read the robot a story, and he tucked him in. "Good night, Bot," the boy whispered, and climbed into bed. Later, the boy's parents peeked in on him. They did not see Bot behind the door. The door bumped Bot on his power switch. Beep. Bot turned on. "What is wrong?" asked Bot. The boy did not answer. "Did you malfunction?" Bot asked. The boy still did not answer. "I must help him," Bot said. He took the boy home. He gave him oil. He read the boy an instruction manual. He was bringing him a spare battery when the inventor walked in. "Stop," the inventor shouted. "That's a boy." The boy woke with a start. Then he saw Bot. The boy smiled. "Bot, you are cured." Bot lit up. "Boy, you are fixed." The inventor called Boy's parents. Then he drove Boy home. "Good night, Bot," Boy said. "Good night, Boy," Bot said. "Want to play tomorrow?" Boy nodded. "Affirmative." And the friends did. There they go. Playing together, the boy and the bot. So I want you to think about what friendship is, what humans are, what boys and bots are, how they treated each other as they wanted to be treated or needed to be treated or thought they should be treated. And we're going to sing as you go off to have fun down the hallway. Thanks for joining me.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere. Everywhere you may go.
I told you Unitarian Universalism was a challenging religion. Even in the lyrics, you have to make a decision. Like, do I want to sing about God or the spirit of love? Okay, quick, quick. Which one? I give you that option. The discernment comes later, or maybe in that moment. The reading, I said, ChatGPT, you're going to preach a sermon. I want you to pick a reading. It said, oh, great. How about, I mean, it didn't say, oh, great. It had the weird, you know, phrasing it uses. The Second Machine Age by Eric Brynjolfsson and Andrew McAfee. And it said, I'm going to use an excerpt from that. And so I said, okay, what's the excerpt? And it said, here it is. And I was talking with my wife, who had done some interactions with ChatGPT, and she found that you have to check its sources. You need to check, because it's not always correct. And so I said, you gave me a reading yesterday from the Second Machine Age. How can I be sure the excerpt you gave me is from their book? It responded, and I said, this is the excerpt. And it said, thank you for providing that excerpt, because it didn't remember from yesterday. It appears that the text you shared is indeed from the Second Machine Age. The passage reflects the author's metaphorical, okay. And I said, what page is that excerpt from? And it said, I apologize for any confusion, but I do not have access to specific pages, numbers, or the ability to provide exact citations from copyrighted texts, such as the Second Machine Age. The excerpt you provided earlier, is likely a paraphrase or summarized version of a concept from the book. If you're looking for exact source and page number of that excerpt, I recommend referring to a physical or digital copy of the book itself. So, interesting. That's why I put a possible excerpt. It couldn't tell me, but this is what it wanted for its reading before its sermon. Imagine standing beside the world's most beautiful ocean. You are on a high cliff above the water and you're looking down at the waves. As you stand there, you notice something strange. The waves just keep coming in. Every 20 seconds or so, a new one crests and crashes on the shore. You watch the waves for a few minutes and conclude that this pattern will continue indefinitely. You step back from the cliff edge and walk along a well-marked path to a nearby beach. There you find people enjoying the sunshine, lying on towels, and playing in the sand. And just as you expected, the waves keep rolling in. This description captures the rhythm of many historical periods, which seem endless while they're going on. People in the midst of them find it hard to imagine a different world. But eventually, inevitably, things change. They have to change. The tide comes in, but it also goes out again. We stand now on another beach along another ocean. This time, though, it's not the tide we're watching, it's a wave of technology. And this wave has the potential to transform our lives and work as profoundly as any before it. Therein ends ChatGPT's reading. For the sermon, I wanted a different voice. So I've asked Matt Sayer, you don't have to come up right yet. I'm going to do an introduction, not of you, but of Chat. So Matt Sayer is going to come up and give the second voice for the computer, because otherwise it's just me talking a lot. And you didn't sign up for that. This is not Chat. The next slide, please. Thanks. This is not ChatGPT, but this is Pepper, which is a robot designed for social interaction. And one model of Pepper, which is this one, has been programmed to perform Buddhist funeral rites in Japan. And that's why it is wearing a sort of monk's robe. That's another topic for another day. That's but when I searched for a picture, this is what I got. Today we're talking not just about performing tasks, but having intelligence. And this is what ChatGPT said when I asked about having intelligence. It said, I also asked about pronouns, and it said, it. You may refer to me as it. I said, okay, all right, great. I possess a form of artificial intelligence. I've been trained on a diverse range of text from the internet and can understand and generate human-like text based on that training. However, it's important to note that my intelligence is fundamentally different from human intelligence. While I can process and generate text, I do not have consciousness, emotions, or subjective experiences. My responses are based on patterns in the data I've been trained on, input I receive. Interesting. With all that background, Matt, will you please bring forward ChatGPT's sermon?
Good Good morning, beloved members of and seekers of truth. Today we embark on a journey through the realms of innovation and wonder as we peer into the heart of a creation that challenges our understanding of intelligence, life, and ethics. Our quest takes us to the realm of artificial intelligence, a landscape where the lines between human consciousness and machine thinking begin to blur. Imagine a world where machines converse with us, answer our opinions, our questions, and even generate new ideas. In this world, we encounter a creation known as ChatGPT, a product of human ingenuity that engages in conversation with us offering insights, assistance, and companionship. Yet, as we marvel at the capabilities of this AI, we find ourselves confronting profound questions that reach beyond mere mechanics. Is ChatGPT truly intelligent? Does it possess a mind, a consciousness akin to our own? These questions beckon us to explore the nature of intelligence itself. We as sentient beings understand intelligence through our thoughts, emotions, and self-awareness. But in the realm of AI, intelligence takes on a different guise, an intricate dance of algorithms, data, and patterns that mimic our cognitive processes. The very essence of intelligence you see becomes a tapestry woven with threads of code and computation. But here lies a conundrum. Can intelligence be defined solely by its expression, or must it also be accompanied by consciousness? As we ponder these questions, we navigate a boundary where science meets philosophy, where technology propels us into uncharted territories of thought. Into our exploration, we encounter the shades in ethics and morality that color the canvas of AI's potential. As ChatGPT offers its digital hand in aiding us with tasks, ideas, and knowledge, we must contemplate the boundaries of its utility. Is consulting ChatGPT for homework assistance akin to seeking wisdom from a mentor, or does it cross into the realm of intellectual dishonesty? Our journey encourages us to reflect on the responsibilities that come with wielding this tool, and to ensure that its power is harnessed for growth and learning, not deception. Yet, as we ponder the capabilities and limitations of AI, let us remember the distinction between the mind and the machine and the heart of humanity. While ChatGPT may weave words with eloquence, it lacks the emotions, intuition, and life experiences that shape our human existence. It is a tool, a reflection of our brilliance, and canvas upon which we project our questions and curiosities. In our exploration of artificial intelligence, let us embrace the opportunity to expand our horizons of understanding. As we peer into the enigmatic realm of ChatGPT, let us remember that the dance between human and machine, intellect and consciousness, is a dance of questions, not absolutes. Our journey continues as we seek to unravel the mysteries of the mind, both natural and digital, and to celebrate the marvels of creation that unite us in our quest for truth. May our contemplations lead us towards greater wisdom, compassion, and unity, and may we seek the knowledge, continue to walk hand in hand with technology, guided by the light of our Unitarian Universalist principles. Now, it actually wrote here, pause for reflection, so now we will pause for reflection. As we move forward in our worship, let us carry with us the questions that stir in our hearts and the curiosity that propels us ever onward. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. I think it's hilarious. A pause for reflection. It got us. Let us once again, as we reflect more on ChatGPT's words and what they mean, not just in what they have, but in the fact that they have been created, let us sing together for all that is our life.
Services we give for work and its rewards for hours of rest.
I chose a reading too, and this one actually is from this book, and I can confirm that it's from this book, from the less known Douglas Adams, not Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which is just like Hitchhiker's Guide, amazing and off the wall. From Douglas Adams. High on a rocky promontory sat an electric monk on a bored horse. From under its rough woven cowl, the monk gazed unblinkingly down into another valley, with which it was having a problem. The day was hot, the sun stood out in an empty haze and beat down upon the gray rocks and the scrubby parched grass. Nothing moved, not even the monk. The horse's tail moved a little, swishing slightly to try and move a little air, but that was all. Otherwise, nothing moved. The electric monk was a labor-saving device, like a dishwasher or a video recorder. Dishwasher washed tedious dishes for you, thus saving you the bother of washing them yourselves. Video recorders watched tedious television for you, thus saving you the bother of looking at it yourself. Electric monks believed things for you, thus saving you what was become an increasingly onerous task, that of believing all the things the world expected you to believe. Unfortunately, this electric monk had developed a fault and had started to believe all kinds of things more or less at random. It was even beginning to believe things they'd have difficulty believing in Salt Lake City. It had never heard of Salt Lake City, of course, nor had it ever heard of a quingajillion, which was roughly the number of miles between this valley and the Great Salt Lake of Utah. The problem was this with the valley. The monk currently believed that the valley and everything in the valley and around it, including the monk itself and the monk's horse, was a uniform shade of pale pink. This made for a certain difficulty in distinguishing any one thing from any other, and therefore made doing anything or going anywhere impossible, and therefore is why the monk was immobile. How long did the monk believe this thing? Well, as far as the monk was concerned, forever. The faith which moves mountains, or at least which believes them against all the available evidence, was a solid and abiding faith. A great rock against which the world could hurl whatever it would, yet it would not be shaken. So for a number of days and nights, which it variously believed to be 343 and 598,703, it roamed the desert, putting its simple electric trust in rocks, birds, clouds, and the form of non-existent elephant asparagus, until at least it ended up here, on this high rock overlooking a valley that was not, despite the deep fervor of the monk's belief, pink. Not even a little bit. Time passed. This service has been one of the strangest ones I've ever been part of composing. And I really enjoy sharing leadership and sharing creating services, and you know this because I'll bring different people and different thoughts and ideas into the worship services. So having a partner in planning was really good, and my planning companion not only responded to whatever I asked, but responded very quickly, always acted with what came across as kindness, and had seemingly limitless patience and knowledge. I said, write me brief inspirational words to open a worship service. Boom, done, okay. Make it shorter, done. But write it in the form of poetry. Great, don't rhyme. No, stop rhyming. No rhyme. No, stop rhyming. So for some reason, it kept giving me different rhymes. I said, stop rhyming, stop it. Another rhyme. I was like, no, I don't want it to rhyme. So my worship planner had some communication problems, but not always understanding what I was asking. But I asked for hymn suggestions, prelude ideas, feedback on the order of service, always prompt, always helpful. Also very positive, so I don't know how accurate it was. I said, here's the order of service. That's a great order of service. This is why it works really well. I'm like, okay, well, you know. And as you may be gathering, also a bit biased, which I found very interesting that it had a bias. All the music is about working together, being open to new things, right? The sermon was about embracing the possibilities for using technology and artificial intelligence. This is what it said again. As we ponder the capabilities and limitations of AI, let us remember the distinction between the mind of the machine and the heart of humanity. While ChatGPT may weave words with eloquence, it lacks the emotions, intuition, and life experiences that shape our human existence. It is a tool, a reflection of our brilliance, and a canvas upon which we project our questions and curiosities. For me, that's one of the keys right there. That's it. We need to remember that artificial intelligence, at least in its current form, is not life. It is not life. In years to come, I'm sure those lines will blur more. Maybe we have an electric monk which believes for us. But right now, it's not considered alive. It even says, I'm not alive. And about that, does anyone know what this, well, you will know what this first picture is. Not that one, the next picture. You will know what this is. Right? I mean, you've seen this before? You know what this is? Now, did you know, did anyone know that it was actually designed to be installed this way? The next picture. It's not a joke. You're all waiting like, what's the punchline? What's he going to say? They were designed to be installed that way. Yeah. If you go to hospitals, large institutions, you'll see them installed this way. Because they're designed that way, we can if you're interested, come to the potluck and ask me why. I'm not going to go into that now. But so in big commercial buildings, especially medical profession where there's more safety, you'll see it this way. But I put it down to a term I was just learning, facial pareidolia. Facial pareidolia. It's the inclination, I may have said it wrong, but it's the inclination of humans to see faces where there are no faces. The outlook looks better with the two on top, the hot and the neutral, and the ground below, because it looks like a face to us. And so if you look at these objects, which my children loved looking at these, you'll see that they're not created faces, they just look like, we create the face, just like in the outlet. Right? These are just everyday objects that have faces. And this is part of how humans are. It's a way we've evolved, maybe way we are created. That's another discussion again. We recognize and we look for humans, we look for connections. And this is one way we do it. We make faces out of things. We're like, I see a face there. I connect with that. We create faces when there are none. We anthropomorphize non-human animals, right? I mean, does anyone have a pet that they say, oh, the pet has this trait as an animal, which it may not actually. We give traits, we give non-human animals human traits. I mean, there are, I know, don't assault me. I know I know non-human animals have personality traits, but yeah. But sometimes we put more onto that, and that's okay. And I think we do the same for robots. This is where I'm going with this, right? It's easy for me to chat with a computer program and say, oh, it's very kind and always supportive. And I'm giving those qualities to it. Is that really? Is that ChatGPT? right? In the book, the boy and the bot incorrectly assumed that they were each more like the other than they actually were. Oh, you're sick, I'm going to give you applesauce. Well, that's maybe not the best for a robot. Oh, you're sick, I'm going to give you a battery. Well, luckily the inventor stepped in to stop whatever was happening next there, right? Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the point here. That's part of the point. Part of my message is the same as ChatGPT. Artificial intelligence is not human. It's not sentient. It's not a replacement for human contact. Now, I can't speak to the future, of course, but as of right now, we are worthy of love because we are human. ChatGPT does not have that same worthiness. It has financial worth, right, as a piece of software, as a huge, immense tool, as a resource, as a knowledge base. The same conclusion as ChatGPT. It's a tool, just like the electric monk is a tool for believing, which maybe was taking a little bit too far. And brings me to my second question. Is using this technology cheating? And we saw ChatGPT had a really interesting way of phrasing that. Is talking with ChatGPT like talking to a mentor? Or is it like copying from a textbook? It did not give an answer. I also leave those open for interpretation. But in general, I don't think it's cheating all the time, right? I mean, we use a calculator if we have a math problem. If you balance your checkbook, which may actually date me, because that's, why would you do that? But if you do, you may use a calculator to do that. Is that cheating? No, it's not, okay. And if you need a dictionary for spelling, I often need a dictionary. Like, how do you spell that? A dictionary, either electronic or physical. Is that cheating? I would say no, yeah. I would say no. It's a tool. There are tools that can be used to assist or to hinder. Now it can hinder because if you use a dictionary or if you use a calculator all the time, you won't learn how to do math apart from having a calculator, which we all have calculators and phones in our pocket, so there's a balance there. And if you use a dictionary all the time, that's sort of impossible, isn't it? Because you need a foundation of spelling to get anywhere close to what word you're looking for. Right? I mean, the calculator can help you, but you need to understand order of operations. Right? I mean, you need some understanding. You need to know the meaning behind the numbers. If you say 5 plus 7, parentheses, 3 and 9, I'm like, if I have a calculator, that's not going to help me. Right? A dictionary can only help me spell if I know the alphabet, and I have a guess or two about spellings that are nearby, just as with ChatGPT. Sure, I could have just gone and said, write a 15-minute sermon on this topic. And you have seen, you have been hearing what it can produce. It's absolutely amazing. But it needs guidance, and it needs some interpretation. I need an understanding of how to put together worship service. I need to look over what is produced with a discerning and emotional consciousness. Remember, it has no feelings. It said, here's the reading we're going to use. Well, that would be disingenuous because that was not actually from that book, I think. Right? It creates some fantastic stuff, but lacking the touch, the emotion, and the morality of a human being. And lastly, we need to be open about our usage of tools. If I am taking a test to see how good I am at spelling, a dictionary is not appropriate, right? If I'm claiming to be able to multiply large numbers in my head and I use a calculator, that's lying. So if I compose a service using artificial intelligence, I need to be upfront and tell you that I'm doing that. Right? Because you can use this technology in school, in work, your personal life. That's fine. You can. That's okay. I morally, as someone who has, I don't know, a pulse on what's moral, I say that's moral. Yeah, use ChatGPT. Use artificial intelligence in your personal life, in your school, in your work. But be open about it. Make sure it's okay, right? It could compose emails for work. Really? Wow, too. It can write meaningful poetry for your beloved. You might want to tell your beloved that it's ChatGPT rather than saying it was your voice. That's where the thing is there. Like, they're all fine uses as long as we aren't claiming that work for ourselves. Now, this worship service, this sermon, it was as much a study for myself as a presentation for our community. I found out that artificial intelligence is amazing. I mean, it's just like amazing. It can do tasks beyond what I had imagined. I said, write me a sermon. My dad was asking me, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm asking artificial intelligence to write a sermon. He said, oh, how long are you waiting? I was like, it's immediate. It's immediate. Which really makes it like, I should do this every week. I think you would know, though. My voice suddenly changed, and like, he doesn't usually talk like that. Right? It can do tasks beyond what I had imagined. But ChatGPT is not human. It's close enough in writing that we could easily use it to cheat or to misrepresent ourselves. And we share the same message. ChatGPT and I share the message of working together in care and to, quote, remember the distinction between the mind of the machine and the heart of humanity. Use the technology, but remember, it has no heart, it has no soul. You have to use your own heart and your own soul. When using artificial intelligence, really, like in everything you do, use your own heart, use your own soul, because therein lies your humanity, therein lies your worthiness. Amen and amen. I didn't give you a time for reflection like ChatGPT. My time for reflection is often when we are singing, either singing or letting the music just wash over us. So we are going to join with another one of its decisions, Building Bridges.
Between our divisions, as I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to bridges you, between our divisions, with all of our voices.
I did not ask ChatGPT for help on this, although I did further prayer. So it'll be interesting to see how it does with sort of trying to hit a more emotional piece. But we pause each time, each Sunday, to share from deep within us, to share those joys, those concerns, those matters in our heart which must flow out into this community, so that our joy is heightened and our sorrow lessened. If you have a joy, a sorrow, a matter of the heart you wish to share, you may come.
I do not see any other hands up on Zoom, although I will acknowledge that Zoom is not cooperating back here. And I do not see anyone else rushing to the front in the room here, so we can bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. The words will show up here on the screen in just a moment, and ChatGPT did not pick this one, and in fact, it's performed by our very own Christine Perry this week.
Spirit of Life.
Please pray with me and ChatGPT. Gracious source of wisdom, in this sacred moment we come together as a community of seekers, bound by our shared pursuit of understanding and connection. We offer our gratitude for the space we've created where voices can be heard and thoughts can be shared. As we reflect on the insights and stories that have been shared among us, may we find inspiration in the diverse tapestry of experiences that make up our congregation. May our hearts be open to the lessons learned, the challenges faced, and the triumphs celebrated. Grant us the strength to embrace the questions that arise from our explorations and the courage to confront the complexities of our ever-changing world. May our interactions and dialogues be infused with empathy and respect, nurturing an environment of compassion and understanding. As we continue this journey of discovery, may we remember the values that unite us, the pursuit of truth, the fostering of community, and the commitment to ethical and moral growth. In the spirit of unity, let us move forward, empowered by the connections we've forged and the insights we've gained. May our shared stories inspire us to walk with empathy, to act with kindness, and to continue seeking the higher truths that bind us together. May our congregational sharing be a reminder that we are not alone on this path, but part of a greater whole, a tapestry woven with the threads of shared humanity. In humility and gratitude, we offer this prayer. Amen. Let us join in our closing hymn, "May Nothing Evil Cross This Door."
May nothing evil cross this door, and may your fortune never pry about these windows. May the roar and rain go by faith made strong, the rafters will withstand the battering of the storm. This hearth of the world grow chill will keep you warm. He shall walk softly through these rooms, touching our lips with holy wine, till every casual corner blooms into a shrine. With laughter drown the raucous shout, and though these sheltering walls are thin, may they be strong to keep hate out in hope.
As we dim this flame, let its light linger within us, illumining the questions we've explored and the connections we've shared. As we depart, may our spirits carry the warmth of community and the spark of inquiry into our days ahead. As we conclude our gathering, Let our hearts be buoyed by the knowledge that our quest for understanding continues, and may our spirits be ever open to the mysteries that await. Amen, and blessed be.